This is RSVB Update, episode 459, recorded Friday, April 4th, 2014, Whipping Out the Gold Farmers. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us on RSBNB Update, one of the longest, if not the longest, running RuneScape podcast out there. With me this week is just our standard usual guest host. Say hello.
Hello.
I mean, not guest host. You're, of course, the normal full-time co-host. I don't know what I was doing calling you a guest host there. But anyways, you're here from the very beginning this week, unlike we had a bit of trouble last week.
Technically, I was on time. Don't forget, I was on time.
Right, we just
y'all were late,
and
I had to go up.
Okay, so this week's been a pretty quiet week in RuneScape, hasn't it? We really haven't had any massive updates on the order of, say, Grandmaster quests or anything like that, have we this week?
No, nothing happened.
And it's been a quiet week, which is good for a change, but I think the main update of this week brought us two very interesting things, and one that's, of course, a little bit less useful to the vast majority of people out there since they're not in clans, but I want to start off with the high scores update, in that free-to-play people are now going to appear on the high scores once again.
Yay!
There are minimum requirements, in that you need to log in once every 90 days, every 3 months, so that's not too bad. 2154 XP is required to appear in overall, as well as at least level 15 in the relevant skill is required to appear in any specific skill all-time table, and at least 1,000 XP in the relevant time frame is required to appear in a weekly or monthly high score table. So
cool.
This is good for us for
yes,
a number of reasons. First one being that at the end of the show, we normally run our Achievements of the Week segment, in which we talk about people who are RSVB members who get 99. And normally we can't talk about free-to-play people who get 99 because our high scores that shows us the results of all this only can pull from the official high scores, which previously only had members only. So that's good. And also, in terms of other RSVB-related things, this means that free-to-play can now participate in our monthly Skill of the Month contests, which are very, very popular. So,
yeah, and you know, let's get some recognition out there. And maybe we'll, I don't know, maybe one day we'll do some 120s as well, but that'll be kind of hard to figure it out, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. I'm kind of thinking as to what we can do about that eventually in showing those levels once those capes do make it into the game, but stand by for more on that in the future. But if memory serves me correctly, free-to-play were initially removed from the high score. Was it because they were too crowded and they wanted to make it a member's benefit, if I remember correctly, right?
It wasn't too crowded. I think what they decided to overhaul it. I think they decided to make it simpler by just making it members only. I think the issue was like, well, if you're on there with everybody else, you don't really get to see yourself because everyone there is, you know, so many people are so much better than you. And I think they decided to trim it down to members. And, you know, there was a huge backlash of this because then all free-to-play or those became members and then back to free-to-play basically lost their ranking and everything else and made it really annoying.
Yeah.
So I don't think it had to do with too many people. I just think that they just thought, like, we should give you member perks.
And, I mean, this is good because it really does allow everybody to be a part of the same community, which I think is something that Even though it appeared as though, you know, it looked as though, you know, that the high scores were going to be one of the features that members get, it was essentially dividing the community and creating sub-communities in there. And that free-to-play didn't really, if they didn't have this benefit, they weren't really a full part of the main game, if you know what I mean. And in doing that, we have just drastically increased the number of people who can get 99s mentioned on the show and the number of people who can compete in RSB&B Skill of the Months. Because remember, there are 16 free-to-play skills and 10 member skills. And with these, there's a good chance in our Skill of the Months that they are going to be a free-to-play Skill of the Month. So if you can compete in that, that's all the better, in my opinion. So I don't see any negatives to this, and at the end of the day, it's an update that has been needed for a while, and I don't know if it was technical or what, but Jagex definitely ought to be commended for bringing this option back.
Okay. Yeah, you know, 1,000 all relative skills isn't a lot. Most people get 15 by the end of the first day.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, farming, that would definitely be one. Or no, never mind. That's not a member skill. Oops. I mean, not a free-to-play skill. I'm obviously a little bit too reliant on farming. But yeah, let's go with fire making instead. Get 15 fire making, and there you go. Now, one thing I didn't check with this is, does this mean that the hard limit as to how many people can appear in these tables is gone? Or...
I think they're just going to keep expanding, kind of like how before. As for the ones who are just weeded out, if they don't come back on in 3 months, then so be it. Let me take a look here.
There's 20,544 people, and level 15, 513,000 ranked. So in fire making, so definitely more than 500,000 people ranked now. But if I remember correctly, it's the top 1 million. So let's see, what would be a skill that has over 1 million rank? Cooking, perhaps?
Oh, definitely cooking would probably have a lot.
Same for cooking, 512,000 people ranked. What's another popular one? Woodcutting?
Attack.
Okay, we'll check that.
Attack. Nope, attack has a lot, has less.
Cooking or woodcutting rather has 535,000. So, I mean, I'm trying to find if it's top million or what is it? I'm betting it's top 1 million. So, but I mean, still, there's 500,000 slots to be filled up here. And if you look at the woodcutting one, for example, yes, a good chunk of the people on this high scores table have the members icon next to their name. But a good amount of them don't. So, I don't know. This is a good move.
This is good. I mean, just give it a couple more weeks. I think we'll get more overall players. I think it's also a way to try and get new players in. It's like, hey, compare you to your friend. You all both play at the same time. I'm better than you. Ha 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 ha.
And if you can't,
mini competition.
And if you can't compete overall with your friends who might be a member, then that might drive you away from the game. So.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to the next one, the action bar sharing. This one I really like.
I haven't had a chance to test it yet, did you?
I'm about to test it right now. I literally had a little nerd rage. Had a little nerdy thing going on. Jesus Christ. Let me see. So anyway, action bars. You can share your action bars with your friends on your friend list now. So... to share your action bar, so right-click the number on the action bar on the interface and select share. Okay?
And then you need to be on the same world as that person to make it work. Would you like me to log in quickly to demo this with you? Or?
You might have been in the same world?
Yeah, you do.
Let me see.
Because basically all you do is you just go to this person, and if they're on the same world, They'll get a little box come up that says action bar offer, and then you'll be able to choose which one you want to override and then just say accept or reject. It's a very simple way of doing it. And if I remember correctly, we did say something like this was needed when EOC came out, right?
Yes, I've been saying this since like the very beginning. You know, even on our site, we should really bring more attention back to our own site for the equipment calculators and everything else. Hey, actually, it's working now for me. Huh. Okay. You remember the problem I had?
Yes, yes. Let's not talk about that. That was fairly odd.
Anyway, you know, just
continue.
Want to touch up on it. You know how from the very beginning I always said that I think it'll be good if people actually, you know, post whatever builds you have, let people share, let people try it out, let people, you know, and really advance the game forward. We have lots of people who can do X, Y, and Z. The only issue is we don't have a mass pool yet for people to really rank, to really compare builds, to really see how it works. Because you know people, Shane, they'll have three bars that's just for dueling.
Mm-hmm.
Three bars that's just for dueling. They'll switch around faster than God and do whatever they want. And that's how you get the game for it. And it's also, this one's also good for when you're going boss hunting. Hey, you want to come with the boss hunting?
Yeah.
What do I need on my build? You know how it was before. It was, okay, you need this, then this, then this, then this. Wait, hold on. Where was that one again? Are you going to try
even
find
when
the
I
icon?
Was getting you guys ready for the quest last week?
It was too late. Anyway, so this is good. They're like, hey, what build should I have? All right, put this on. There, done. Pair, put this build on. Ooh, done. Yay.
Yeah, and if Jagex really wanted to take this one step further, you know what they would do? Is they would take this feature and put it on the website in such a way that when you set up an action bar, there's a little checkbox next to it, and you can say, if you check this box, this build will be publicly available on my Adventurer's Log page. Then all you got to do is go to the Adventurer's Log page for whoever it might be, and there you go. There is whatever action bar setups this person has, and you can view them right there and then maybe even share them through Twitter or something like that. And as you mentioned, that is something we felt that this combat system needed when it came out. So when we made the changes to the combat calculator, rsbnb.com/equipment calculator, I believe, we included an action bar sharer so that you can put all of these abilities, teleports, spells, whatever they might be, on this bar, share it with the equipment loadout. So let's say you're going for a God Wars dungeon run. You put your armor, you put your action bars up. I know one thing we wanted to do in the future was maybe do an inventory loadout, but that really wasn't needed since, you know, you can put any item on the bar. So you just put Rocktail on and there you go. But that's the whole reason we did this.
You know what? I think we are still one of the only sites that actually has that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's one of my favorite features. And it turned out really, really well, I will say. The only thing that it needs is a bit of an update in terms of the values. Because if you remember back in, I want to say mid-year last year, a bunch of the armor values did get reworked, and we weren't able to get all of the updated values because we had been gathering these values before the Evolution in Combat came out, and they are, of course, hand-inputted, so that of course, put a lot of work on our content crew. So we basically haven't asked the content crew to redo that yet. But I will say, if you are looking at our equipment calculator and you see an armor item or whatever it might be, a cape or something like that, that's missing one of its numbers, all you can do is just head on over to the forums and send me a private message, and I will fill in the value for that armor based on what you send me. So if you send me something that is going to be say Tetsu armor that we don't have, or one of the other ports armors, we will gladly put that up for you on the equipment calculator with its associated value. So, you know, we can foster this build sharing and just further the general evolution of combat, so to speak. So overall, it's a very good thing. Mm-hmm. All right, where are you at?
I got you. There you go.
Okay. I don't know. I don't want to get rid of mine. I'm going to reject that.
Well, you had to reject it?
Yeah, I had to reject it because I didn't exactly need that one, and I have all my bars set up specifically to various tasks at the moment. But let me send you this one, seeing as this is...
send me one, because I have one that's dead right now anyway.
All right, so you right-click on the number, and you choose Share. Then what right. you do is you just select the friend. Okay.
Ooh.
So this is my bar that I use for the Queen Black Dragon hunting.
This will override current selection bar. Are you sure? Yes. Cool. Thank you, Shane.
Yeah, so that's pretty much all there is to it. And it worked pretty good, didn't it?
Yeah, I override my bar, one that I just never had anything in it anyway, and now I have something to kill Queen Black Dragon. Hey, you really? Oh, you use Farrakh Barrow's armor, don't you?
Yes.
That's why. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, good.
Yeah, cool.
So next part of this week's update is a clan's messaging system. So basically, the way I took this is that there's basically admin broadcast messages. Is that right? I haven't fully looked into this, but you're more active in clans than I am.
I actually saw one. They'll actually, my clan, with my clan, I was looking at it, and they'll show you a couple messages here and there. I had a couple messages pop up that said, so-and-so finish maxing out in Citadel. So-and-so just accomplish XYZ. But, you know, they're few and far between, but, you know, nice little touch.
So can a clan leader, for example, take this and send a broadcast out to the entire clan and have it appear in there, or is it system-based?
I think it's an entire clan, so whoever's in the clan will get the message.
I know, but can you customize them so that if you have the right permission, you want to say such and such and such or such, please come to the Citadel, or you guys have 2 days left, we need to reach this armor or this resource quota?
No, I believe. Well, I don't know. I haven't asked my clan about it, and I don't have access to it.
Oh,
so
okay.
I don't know.
Alrighty then. Well, that's it for the main content updates this week. We're going to move on to something else that was posted today by ModMMG, where he debunks various myths and misconceptions about RuneScape. So let's begin, shall we?
Huh, okay.
So what did you make of this post when you saw it?
Oh, honestly, I didn't read it yet because I've been working all day.
Oh.
I thought it was, when I saw this, I thought it was the old one that he posted a week ago.
No, this is a new one. Pertaining to pretty much everything that the community has been using to publicly show that RuneScape is dying or is in a very, very bad position, which is obviously not the case. But first, just a couple of...
I like the last sentence in the first paragraph.
All right, hang on. First off, RuneScape is composed of 84% men and 16% women. 90% play RuneScape in English. The average account age is from 2009. Their total level is 1614. The highest levels are woodcutting and strength, and the lowest levels are farming and divination.
And the top 1% of RuneScape players have 1 billion gold in wealth.
Only 1%.
1% change.
Only 1%. 1%. So, I guess I'm a 1%er then, based on the Wealth Evaluator thing.
I don't know. How did I don't know. Maybe it's, we're just trying to figure out like where that's coming from, aren't we?
Yeah, because this wealth evaluator says that I am worth 1.2 billion GP, and I have no idea where that comes from. I've accounted for about around 400 million of that from rares and armor and whatnot, but where the other 800 million comes from, I have no idea.
I don't have one, so I don't know. So
yeah,
I'm not
I mean, it was
enough.
32 rune coins, so I thought I'd give it a try, and I've had all those rune coins left from last year, right? So might as well.
Okay, let's see. Moving on to the next section, we have the bots and gold farmers little tidbit. So pre-bot nuke, RuneScape had over 200,000 dodgy accounts getting into the game every day and bought it until banned, and at a time would take several weeks, and multiple players reporting before being banned. In 2011, with the bot nuke, 95% disappeared overnight. Bot developers
that.
Adapted though, and within a year, they were back up to their old volumes. The new accounts found them to be a much harsher environment, though, battling our latest in-game tech, which was banning them ever quicker than ever. Since 2013, we've brought a range of next-generation anti-bot technology, allowing us to detect all bots within hours with 100% certainty. I think that was, I want to say maybe 90%. Supposedly some of ours kind of got the ban hammer on accident. Let's see. We ban bots at random intervals a few days after first detection so that they never know exactly how they were detected.
Aha!
Side effect of this that we... What?
Aha!
What, now you wonder why the bots were there and everything else?
No! People wonder why they get banned when they're doing things that don't seem like they're getting banned. Okay, they say, well, I wasn't botting. Well, you obviously botted in the past. Because like they said here, the accuracy on this thing is very high. So even though you're off, you know, bank standing or doing something like that and you get banned, you were botting in the past, and there you go, you're gone now. So, I mean, this is perfectly explaining why these people get banned for seemingly doing nothing. So I'm glad that this came out. Though, I mean... It says random interval in the future. I just hope they don't give too much away with that.
Well, anyway, side effect of this is that we see many players who had botted prior try to appeal their bans as they incorrectly believed they were unfairly banned because they're often playing normally when the ban is applied, and therefore they think we've made a mistake and somehow they managed to get away with historic botting. Finally, in September 2013, we began focusing on wiping out gold farmers by introducing bonds. This, along with constant updating of bot watch, has kept dodgy activity at record lows. In fact, rock bottom in the main game.
I love these two paragraphs.
Okay, and let's see. Volume of bots and gold farmer is lower than ever. However, we are not complacent with the success on our main game, and we're working on extending our focus to old school RuneScape, which I think is good. They should really do nail down RuneScape, old school RuneScape.
Yeah, because I mean, from what I've heard from people, and you know, we don't like to talk about old school, but apparently the bot situation is very bad there, and. You know, even though these people are playing RuneScape, a different kind, those same benefits were promised to them, and it's good that they're going to be eventually getting them. Because, I mean, if you just look at the benefits that this post-bot economy has given us, it's given us tremendous benefits to the point where it's profitable, like I mentioned 2 weeks ago, to, you know, create air runes, for example. So it's really great. But I am glad that this was posted specifically saying that, you know, people are appealing these bans that seem for nothing when in reality it's from doing something in the past. So, I mean, granted, we do hear these stories as to people who say they got banned improperly, and I have not heard one of these stories that is 100% convincing yet, because it hasn't happened to someone that I trust implicitly. as in someone that I trust to a very high degree. So I am going to agree that their stats on this are right, 100% certainty. So that's good. Now, the next part refers to something players online that people honestly think is a case for RuneScape dying. I mean, there's lots of things in here pertaining to this. They say gold farmers run 24/7. There's also some numbers pertaining to the top three players, how much they play. Suomi plays an average of 7 hours, 27 minutes a day. Drumgun, the second player, plays 13 hours a day, and Jake plays 12 hours, 48 minutes a day. So overall, these top three people do play a lot, even compared to how long these gold farmers run, seeing as the gold farmers are always up. Now, comparing the top end to the average player only plays 2 hours a day in the week and an additional 32 minutes on average in the weekend. So this means that the equivalent of 12 real players a single gold farmer would represent 12 real players on the players online count. And therefore, for the first time in a decade, our active player count represents our true players online now numbers. I'll say that again.
Yay.
Our active players represents our true players online now numbers. So with this coming in, this is clearly something that states that these numbers were inflated in the past from bots and gold farmers and all the spammers out there who would spam websites to you and everything like that. Those numbers have been decreased because of this, and this is showing the true number of people playing RS at the time. So this is something that I've suspected for a very, very long time since these bots started to disappear. People who were on the opposite side, the naysayers, as I said, who feel that, you know, Jagex has wronged them and, you know, they want to slander Jagex and, you know, just all around be difficult players for them, will say that, no, this is not the case. People have quit the game and the game is dying. Well, obviously, this is the true number that we've always had.
And we've been saying from the very beginning, people forget that there are still bots in the game, although not as much. But we remember a time where it was 200,000 people every single time. And, you know, I kind of doubt 200,000 people were playing it every single time. So we kind of knew there were bots and all the other stuff there. Those who kind of say the game is dying, like to the extreme, like, oh, we've lost, you know, 75% of our players. No, we didn't have those 75% in the first place. There were some guy with three monitors spamming, you know, bot accounts.
Exactly. And I mean, this even plays the devil's advocate card here, addressing the evolution of combat for people that say that. And, you know, he does admit that they lost some of their community with this update. But recent efforts such as Legacy Mode and Revolution have brought these people back, or some of them back, to the game. And as a result, player count is going up recently because of this. So, I mean, the huge drop wasn't because people hate Jagex and, you know, these updates are horrible. It's because of the bots disappearing. And yes, the people who left were a small number of that, but that wasn't the full reason. It just happened to coincide at the right time. So I just want to say to anybody out there who is listening, who doubted us when we have said this in the past, you got to listen to what we've been saying in terms of the numbers. It is something that we just felt in our bones, so to speak, as to that this was going on behind the scenes, and that's what those numbers were reflecting, not that the game was in bad condition. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then this is just wrapped up with some stats. Specifically, North America, 57% of the players, Europe, 30%, Australasia, 7%, Africa, 1%, South America, 3%, and Asia, 2%.
Well, you have players in Africa playing this? Interesting.
I guess. 41% are aged between 19 and 25. Greater than 26, 23%, less than 13, 1%, 13 to 16, 12%, and 16 to 18, 23%. So RuneScape is not a kid's game.
No, it was a kid's game. We just grew up with it.
Exactly. So, that's good. And also, there's account age and level breakdowns, which is pretty interesting. So, if we look into the 2004 bracket, the people who created in 2004 and 2003, those accounts are pretty low on the amount of people in terms of the overall player base. But you can see the definite spike in 2007, and then the whole burst of new players in 2014, right at the front there. That's a really interesting one, I think.
Wasn't 07 when we had to play our own house?
Yes, that's right. 2007 yeah, was construction. Look. Or no, 2006 was construction.
Okay, yeah, we have a nice little spike in between those two, 2006 and 07. That would account for the spike.
Because remember, construction May 2006, Falador Massacre 6606.
I say that was a coincidence.
It was. It was. It was not the devil.
Well, to the guys who lost their gear and everything else, he was the devil. I actually, you know, the sad part was I actually remember when the construction, when they first came out, you remember you and I kind of decided to try out the boxing ring that someone had just to see what would happen. And then we had an issue like, hey, we went back out, like, hey, we can quote unquote attack other people. This is kind of weird. But we couldn't really attack them. We had the option, but we couldn't do anything. And then, of course, a couple days later, that happened. Well, you know, what I remember is one fan site did an interview on the guy. I think he was banned out, right? It's like, you're done. You and your friends are done. They were just banned right off the bat, basically within the next 3 hours. The problem was we had this one fan site who did an interview with him, and I felt that they were praising him for breaking the game, abusing a glitch. It was like, oh, hey, great. Hey, you killed all those people. Great job. I was like, what? He didn't do a great job. How did you find out? Oh, I did this. Did you have fun? I was like, this is not, you don't praise a guy who just murdered a ton of
exactly.
people.
Exactly. And I mean, that's one thing that we really take pride in here is that, you know, we don't glorify rule breakers as these people do. And like I've said before, we've been very, very stern on botting and everything illegal that you can do in RuneScape. So, yeah, that just goes with what we've been saying in the past. And, I mean, it really is bad when people do that. And I mean, just going forward from this as a lesson that applies to today, if you get banned and you tell us about it, we're not going to believe you unless you're somebody that I know and I trust implicitly. So, if you're getting banned in RuneScape, don't come complaining to me. There's a fairly good reason as to why you did get banned. And we will have no sympathy. Oh, wow, that still exists. Okay. Yeah, I don't want to read that.
Mm-hmm. You know, you can probably look it up. It's not too hard, but you can see why me and Shane kind of have an issue with the article.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know, this will be people's homework.
All right, let's move on to the polling update. The Dragonstone poll from last week,
stupid,
pertaining to the new website feature, that's still running. Adventurer's Log is in the lead with 49%. I think that's definitely a solid win on that part for the one to be chosen with that. Now, moving on to the Diamond poll for the week, pertaining to a reward from the Elven Quest or the Elven City. Crystal Flasks for Herblore. So there's some choices here. Combine two potions, 8-dose potions, modified potions, so they might be more powerful or last longer. No crystal flasks, or I don't mind. Combine two potions.
IDM?
Hmm?
Did you pick I don't mind?
Yes, I did.
Or no crystal flask?
I chose I don't mind. But combined two potions is winning at 46%.
I think that's better for lower level, but for you and me who have 99 herbivore, we can technically just make an overload and kind of be done with it.
Yeah,
even
in terms
then,
of
potions are not as powerful yet.
But I mean,
yeah.
My problem with combining two potions is that that kind of already exists, and it's called the Super Restore and the various God Brews, even though they're kind of useless in this day and age in terms of what they give when you have overload. But that's why I don't like that option. Eight dose potions, you know, that's okay, but that's only two more than a regular flask.
I didn't like having eight. I think for most people, they just want to get rid of their inventory. And for those who went for 99, we have quite a few potions, unless you're one of those who boss hunt every 30 minutes.
Yeah. And I mean,
actually, we should do that.
Modified potions to last longer, be more potent. Okay, maybe that would be an option. But at the same time, that's, in my view, that's only really one option that matters here. And choosing I Don't Mind is a sane choice in my view, because it allows Jagex to have their pick again, as I think they should have. But I take an issue with this poll. You want to know what that is?
We're not giving them creative freedom?
No. This is a poll that is open to everybody that plays RuneScape. Now, are you telling me that everybody who plays RuneScape has done all of the Elven quest storylines and has as big of a stake in this quest line as you and I do? Because we've been around for so long, we've done all these quests, we have the levels, well, we assumably do, compared to somebody who can just create a member's account and vote on this today before even starting that quest line. I mean, I just don't think that's fair to have somebody who is not going to be able to do the quest on release day choosing what the rewards are going to be. At the very least, make it so that Morning's End Part 2 is a requirement to vote in these kind of polls.
Okay, well, we have the third one, and the Ruby one, and it's the Elf Quest reward. Do you want Crystal Halberd, Crystal Magic Staff, Crystal Throne Weapons, or a different reward? And funny enough, nobody wants, majority don't want any of those.
You know why? It's because Crystal Weapons are an embarrassment. The Crystal Bow is a level 70 weapon. People are thinking that all these Crystal Weapons are going to be level 70 based. And it's like I said before. People who are going to be doing this quest, are they going to need a level 70 weapon? A crystal halberd? Do you use halberds? When was the last time you used a halberd?
That was years ago, when before EOC. It was a good slaying weapon. I mean, you had time, you just wanted to kick back and watch movies.
Yeah, because you could use it from two spaces away.
Yeah, and it doesn't really work very much anymore in Evolution of Combat, because things are harder to trap.
Yeah, and Crystal Magic Staff, okay, that would be presumably a level 75 Magic Staff, I think. Is that what the Crystal Bow is?
That would be a
good
little reward for people.
Yeah.
I don't know, 70 something. But I think that would be a good little roundabout. But the throwing weapons, I say they're useless.
70.
Hence why they're. Yeah, crystal throwing weapons are useless. I don't see people really going out their way to make a ton of crystal throwing weapons when there's like, oh, screw it, I'll just use my crossbow.
Yeah, and I mean, you can put these things into the game and have various, you know, good things that come from this, but unless the requirements are boosted and the stats are significantly higher, then I don't think that this is a good thing to be polling at this time, because people who do this quest are not going to be in the 70 combat range for these weapons. So I'm glad that people are actually choosing a different reward on this compared to, you know, just blindly choosing the first one that looks good on paper here, but a different reward. Choose this option if you would like us to choose a different reward for the Elf Quest. Okay, that works.
Yeah, that's so, actually winning.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like I said. I think this is going to be the first poll that none of the above wins. So. All right. There's your polling update for the week. Kind of disappointing in that regard, but let's move on to the Community Chronicle, shall we?
All right. Community Chronicle.
All right. So we got two videos this week. First one is from one of our friends, Raji, who does Iron Man stream highlights. So basically what he did is he did a three-hour live stream on his own Twitch channel. And then what he did is he compiled the highlights of it and put it on his YouTube channel for everyone to watch. So give it a watch. We like Raji. He was pretty instrumental in, you know, being a strong voice against bots when they were a problem and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the second video is?
It's 120 capes with pictures.
Yeah, so...
K-Krim Commercial has recorded an in-game survival challenge.
No, that's, oh, you're reading the wrong
Oops,
one.
Sorry.
Wrong Little bit one. Up.
Yeah, sorry. Anyway... Space Skill, who has recently visited Jagex HQ for Game Blast, put together a video showing all of the artwork and in-game footage of the Master Capes before they were released.
That so, farming cape looks them, pretty good, doesn't it?
I'm never going to get 120 in anything. So maybe Dungeonary.
All right. So give that a watch if you want to see what those are going to look like. I'll just take this time to say that since we're talking about 120 capes, since they are going to be cosmetic, if Jagex, if you are listening to this, please give us an option to have a cosmetic override for our first 99 cape that we got. So in my case, I would be happy to have my untrimmed farming cape back, and I would pay room credits for that.
Would you rather have an untrimmed farming cape or 120 a farming cape?
I would prefer the untrimmed.
But then it wouldn't be as valuable then, would it?
I know, but still, that's the one I've wanted for so long, and it's really a shame that we didn't have keepsake boxes back then.
Okay.
All right. Other things going on this week. There's that Hunger Games video, as you mentioned, and pest control in-game, weekly pest control event. And, yeah, lots of good things happening in RuneScape this week. So I'll just wrap this up by saying that Jagex also recently had another group of people come visit them at the HQ. And they got to preview some updates and whatnot. And there's a little image of this here. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sounds good.
All right.
Next up for you guys, we got the RuneScape Companion app has been updated with a Distractions and Diversion Companion. So this basically means you'll be able to see when it's time to go do your daily sinkholes.
I really should do that stuff more, but I'm so busy now. I don't have the time to really wait around.
And see, that's why that's perfect with this update, because all you got to do is you just put this little thing on your phone or just even bookmark it because it's a web app, and you can basically see when the next thing comes up. So, for example, the next sinkhole ready in 25 minutes, court cases are good to do, as is the Fears of Guthix and the Big Chinchampa in 15 minutes. So, I think that's nice.
Mm-hmm. But hopefully people see this as a tool in their gameplay and not see it as a chore to do. As you know, Shane, a lot of when you start playing RS just to do the chores, it's no longer fun.
Yep.
So don't treat it as you have to do this. Treat it as I want to do this to have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
Please do that.
Yeah, I gotta say that.
Okay.
Because if you try and do every D&D in the game, you won't get it done, and you'll have less time to do what you actually want to do. So just do what you want to do in the game and take it from there.
Well, you know, we have those who do the daily stuff every single day, and they make good money off of those. Oh, but then I was like, then you're really just, all right, it's 9 a.m., let's do this. I do this, then I do this, then I do this. It's becoming a chore. You're no longer playing the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then.
All right,
and
how are we going to
wrap Treasure Hunter
wrap
is really... Well, we got Treasure Hunters with the Slayer Mask 3. These are new Slayer Masks that are being released. We got Massive Crimson for Blood Veils, Massive Stench for Spectres, Massive Gloom for Dark Beasts, Green Worms, Yellow Worms, White Worms for all these Dark Worms. And, you know, twice a day, a teleport location where the monster can be found. And get a little extra bonus from them. So, yeah. Good luck.
Any of these that you want right away?
Spectres would be good. They're good for herb drops and whatnot. You don't want any... I don't want any of the worms because they're actually long take quite a while to kill them off. Blood veils are good for those who are lower level-ish. I mean, they're good experience.
The strike worms also have netted me their elite clue scrolls in the past, so... those might be interesting ones to have. But I think the important thing about this is that if you have enough of these, you can effectively choose which Slayer tasks you're going to be doing. I know the Abyssal one is very good. That's what I was using to try and get the wand and the orb, but you know, I never came around to getting those. Yeah, I know you did. I know you did. After 900
Actually,
of them,
did they drop
so.
In price?
No, they're still very expensive, so you're good.
I sold
you are good.
I wonder if they dropped.
Nope.
Oh, good. Very good. Okay.
So, I mean...
I'm
not going to specifically target any of these, but I would say the Spectres and the Strike Worms are probably the best. Dark Beasts, I'm not a fan of those. I don't think their drops are that great.
I think they're more for combat experience. I find them really good. You just want to just, you know, put on the little action bar thing that we have, whether retaliate or something. And basically just, you know, one click and just let yourself have fun. Okay. Let's see. And yeah, so that pretty much wraps up the update. Wrap up all RuneScape for the week.
So I guess we should move on to questions then, shouldn't we?
And how much are those things? Sell. Let's see. Wands right now are at 8.3 and the orb is at 3 mil. Wow. That ain't bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Pretty good for, you know, just going out on a task and getting something.
It went out on a dive. It went back up a little bit, though.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Okay.
Alrighty. Well, we got an audio question this week from the RR Man. I will play that question right now.
Hey, Shannon Tricky, it's RR Man here. Just wanted to pop in with a couple of things. First off, Continuum, that's an awesome show, Shane. Thank you for the recommendation. I'm only 2 episodes in, but I'm hooked. I'm going to get the rest of those episodes and have a mean cramming session while I fish on RuneScape. Second off, did anyone notice that it was Tricky that mentioned Star Trek first on the last episode? He just, literally, the first thing he said was a Star Trek reference. I think he now has the record. Lastly, these surveys for rune coins. Has anyone actually done one of these yet? I just did one myself. It took ages, and I had to be very careful reading all the fine print, because if you're not careful, you go through it, and you can get a lot of emails you don't want. You can accidentally sign up to a lot of things. So when you're doing it, make sure you check for all the ones that ask you if you'd like to sign up to this email list or whatever, and always press no for those ones. That's all. Peace out, guys.
I made a Star Trek reference last week. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember that either. But if you did,
I made a Yu-Gi-Oh reference last week.
I do remember
Yu-Gi-Oh
that
reference
one.
Last week, which you didn't get.
Yeah, that's why I remember it.
I don't think it was a Star Trek one. Yeah, it was something about the Shadow Realm. Okay, the Ruin Coin Service. Did you do any?
No, you know, I didn't. Mainly it becomes from exactly what you said there, pertaining to, you know, getting stuff that you might not want to get. I personally don't need rune coins right now, so I'm not going to fill those out. And, I mean, this just goes in general. For whenever you enter anything on the internet, that you really should be careful as to who you're giving these email addresses to. So, just a general warning for everything. But I think it would be pretty clear that if you read the fine print under what Jagex gave you, that, you know, these aren't their surveys, and, you know, you're going off their site, so they can effectively do what they want with you now. And, I mean, if you're providing market data to them and to their advertisers, then you're getting the rune coins in return. So I guess it's kind of expected in that regard, but I'll just say the same thing to everybody. Just be careful with what you're doing and where you click on the internet. That's just generally a good rule to live by. You do any of the surveys?
No, nay.
Okay. I'll say that, I mean, I'll just also throw in that I'm glad you liked that show. Third season now. So once you initially get through 1, 2, and then 3, you'll be fully caught up, and it does take some interesting turns throughout the entire thing. So definitely a good thing to watch while you're playing RS.
Cool.
Alrighty.
Okay.
So next question. You can give this one a read.
Read?
Huh? No, like
read. Call me Reed.
No, I said give this one a read.
No, let me do the last one. Let me do the last one.
Alrighty. This next one is from Marumska.
Hey, you get the short one, though.
Yeah, alrighty. So, Marumska here in text format. With more of the new old armor look overrides from Solomon's store, do you think there is another motive for pushing these out, i.e. trying to make people come back from 07? Has this year's spread of April Fool's jokes gotten more widespread, or have I just seemed to be browsing the internet a bit more this time around? Sorry for not doing an audio question this time around. I know you peeps miss my sexy voice. And with that, Marumska out.
You think there's a motive pushing these out? I don't think so.
No.
I think people just I think people just want the retro look. There's a reason the old is new.
Yeah, like I said, it'd be nice to have like the old rune plate body one. I think that's the one that they could definitely do. They already did the dragon. I'm not sure what else they could do, but I wouldn't attribute it to that. I do think that these new armors overrides look better on this game than they ever did in the 07 type version of the game, so we got that going for us. And I mean, if it brings someone back, then I guess that's all the better.
Okay. Has this year's spread April Fool's jokes got more widespread? Was there an April Fool's thing with Jackex? I didn't see any. There was. I really didn't notice.
Yeah, what they did is they had a forum glitch, supposed forum glitch, where you could see the
Staff
forums.
I forgot about that one. It's like, did we do any? I don't think we did.
No, we didn't do any. And basically, I mean, if you look for them, you'll see it. Personally, I didn't really look for them because I don't know, it just never really appeared. I was trying to see
there.
What...
They were actually there?
Where?
They actually created a sub forum would tell you people not to watch, not to look into it or something?
Oh yeah, they did. They did. And they filled it with stuff. And, yeah. And neither did I, so. I think you were just looking for it, and it's gotten to a point that, I mean, these things are not believable. And in my view, the best one is one that's believable. I think looking back, the one that people thought was an April Fool's joke, but turned out not to be, was the release of Gmail. Because Gmail was released on April 1st, 2004. And, I mean, all the way back then, it was absolutely crazy to have an email service that would give you a gigabyte of storage. So, people thought Gmail was an April Fool's thing, and that's turned out to be one of the best things for the internet. So, take that for what it's worth. I mean, and like I said, the crazy ones that really don't make sense are fine for the moment, but the ones that I like best are the ones that are actually believable. And that's what we have always tried to do on RSBNB, and there's always been a good chunk of people who believe us, so. All right. Anything else on April Fool's for you?
I like the Pokemon Google Map one. That was great.
Oh, right. Right, I remember that.
I love that one. I was like, oh, this was only real. Can you imagine what would happen? I think there'll be lawsuits up the wazoo from Nintendo.
Well, I think jokes are probably immune to something like that. So, all right. Thank you, Maramskat.
Oh, thanks, dude. Okay, and last one is, next one is a question from Parnassius. Guy Mike from Down Under. This is a quick question this week. For the release of the cosmetic 120 cape levels, do you think Jax is going to at least put the XP counter that sits on top of the screen so you can keep your eye on the amount of XP needed for next level? The fireworks and stuff that happens for each level and at least give a player a small sense of accomplishment seeing each level they get. If they aren't going to give us a new high-level content, sure, they should be a feature. They already have their level content in place for the dungeoneering, so it would not be hard to convert it for the new skills as well. Do you think this is oversight on Jagex, or by another case, let's just go at it and worry about it later? Hope y'all are well, and thanks for the great podcast once again. By the way, Shane, your pick of the week for weeks a few show goes about Continuum was greatly appreciated. I am thoroughly enjoying the show. Till next time, this is Vernes, wishing you all best of luck in the land of Glendonor.
Well, you didn't sound French this week.
Oui, oui.
That's good.
Okay.
So,
come on, Shane.
And once again, another upvote to the Continuum pick. I'm glad that that's being so well received. So, thank you. But
what network is it on?
I don't know.
For you, anyway.
Showcase.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. At least not on Fox. Fox has a habit of canceling shows after the three episodes.
Well, it's in the third season, so it's probably safe by now. But. Do you want to take a stab at this
show,
one?
Don't you? Do I want to? Yeah, why not? Let's do it. Make a counter, and you know, in theory, they could. Let's see, what could they do? Can't make it. I guess on the counter, they can make it look like it's going up to 120. But for what about us, who's already kind of past 120, or you know, those who already have 120 and everything? That would be interesting. I don't have any skills that's even close to 120.
Well, you said Dungeoneering is going to be the first one, potentially, so.
Well, it's the only one that's 107, so.
All right. So, I would very much like them to do this. I agree with you. But I think that when it comes down to it, this would ultimately look like the skill cap has been increased to 120, which, I mean, yeah, okay, it's just visual. We get that. And if we're putting these cosmetic capes into the game, I would think they're going to need a way to say where you're at in terms of the progress, because not everyone knows that 120 is roughly 104 million XP. I mean, nobody knows that. off by heart unless you're actually going for one of these things. And how else are you going to teach people from a game design standpoint that, you know, once you're at 99, you can really proceed to 120? So I think it would be a good idea, at the very least, to just have a little fireworks thing that goes off at each supposed level along the way. The level doesn't need to change to 101 or whatever it might be in your skills thing. All it needs to do is put up a fireworks on your screen, say you're level 110 now, and maybe make it blue rather than gold, you know, just to show that it's a cosmetic thing. So I think that might be a good way of going about it. In terms of us, I am looking at extending our calculators to the 120 range because, you know, we'll need that for all the various skills where people want to go to 120. I think the highest input we take now is 100. So, well, we would have to extend that out. That's not too hard to do. And another thing I'm looking at doing is potentially having the high scores go to 120 and show these fictitious levels as we go. This is actually something I was thinking of prior to the 120 cape announcement. It actually came up after the failed prestige announcement. I need to talk to Mike with him a bit about this because the high scores are something that he created, but I don't think it would be too hard to put something like this in place. And I mean, it definitely provide a reason to use the RSBNB high scores over the Jagex high scores, which I think our community would appreciate. So there are a couple things we're looking at here. And I mean, Jagex just needs to be careful that, you know, they give progress updates along the way to ensure the experience is good for the, game players, but not so much so that it looks like they've increased the skill cap to 120.
Okay.
All right. I'm done with that one. I think that pretty much covers it.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
All right.
And thank you for submitting your questions.
Yes. And if you want to send in an audio question, all you need to do is record yourself and email it to questions@rsbnb.com. Or you can just give us a Skype, just Skype voicemail us to RSBNB update. That's a Skype username. Or leave us a Google Voice voicemail at 571-572-2632. All right, so tech news. Project Loon Balloon. That's an interesting name, isn't it?
Oops, wrong page. Okay. Let's see, Google Project Loons goes around the world in 22 days. Project Loon hot air balloons to complete a journey around the world. But unlike around the world in 80 days, Google's creation took a mere 22 days. Far exceeds Mountain View's expectations of 33. So yeah, they send a balloon.
This is, the whole idea behind this was to provide internet access in far-flung regions of the world. And Google would be able to do this using their balloons. So the idea is that you would have these balloons orbiting the Earth at these high altitudes all over the place, and they would provide coverage to the people down below who could not get internet access.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it, this is a lot cheaper than satellite because you don't need to launch it into orbit. It's just up in the atmosphere, so...
And it's a balloon, so it's like,
yeah,
and it's just a balloon, so like, all right, fill it up with some, you know, lighter than air gas, and all right, up it goes.
Yeah,
but the only issue I'm more worried about is people hacking into it.
Well,
I'm pretty sure security will be a huge issue.
Leave that to Google. I mean, Google is one of the best companies in the world to handle security and encryption and pretty much everything like that. So I wouldn't say that's too much of an issue, but it's definitely something to worry about. You know, if these balloons were to, for example, crash or something, what do you do if they're to go down? Do you, like, call Google or what? You know?
Mm. Actually, what they could do in theory is shoot a BB gun up in the air and bring one down, and you know, then you have your own little Amazon package right here with full internet access.
But you know, I make the assumption that if it was on the ground, it wouldn't be able to provide internet access because it needs to be in the air to access the satellites and, you know, beam that internet signal down in a way that can be distributed in a wider beam, if you know what I mean.
Oh, we'll just grab some logs and prop it up against the wall. You know, and we can wrap some tinfoil around, put some fake antennas to it. You know, back in the old days of the rabbit ears television sets, you know. Can't get the signal. Grab some tinfoil, wrap it around, and kind of start hitting it out the door, out the window. Signal is bad.
All right.
You don't remember those things, do you?
Yeah, I do. So.
Red Bull kicked in.
Definitely should be interesting to see what happens with Loon Balloon, given all the areas in the world that have really subpar internet access these days. So next up, Amazon has stepped into the TV market. They launched something this week called Fire TV for $99, which is essentially a competitor to devices like the Roku and Apple TV. Of course, you know, it puts its emphasis on the Amazon video stores, but it can also stream from Hulu, Netflix, YouTube, Vimeo, MLB, and the NBA. So, I don't know if this is going to go anywhere.
Because it's Amazon, or that it just
Amazon is really good at delivering products in terms of being just an online store. But if you look at their past hardware initiatives, like the Kindle Fire, those have really fallen short compared to other tablets. And I think there's a specific reason for that. And that reason is the Amazon Store, rather than using infrastructure that already exists, such as the Android Play Store or Google Play, in a wider sense for Google's music and video service. So Amazon wants to provide this, but I just think it's going to be kind of doomed to the same failure that was Kindle Fire.
Well, with Kindle Fire, no one probably is. They kind of market it used with books, and probably with our generation, no one really reads.
And this is the thing I also said with Kindle Fire. Applications needed to be specifically from the Fire Store. They couldn't, you know, just be plain vanilla Android, even though that's what it was running. So that was a major downside of it. And from early reviews of the Fire TV, it sounds like that's a similar problem with this, in that if you search for something, the results that come up first are to purchase it on Amazon rather than, you know, watch it on Netflix or Hulu or something like that. You would actually need to go into those applications to do that, which is fine. But from my understanding, it has a system-wide search, and that should search the entire system and not just, you know, provide reason for Amazon's results to be at the top for this. And also, let's not forget that people have something called Xbox Ones out there, and Xboxes, and PlayStation 4s, Apple TVs, if you're a Mac person. So this market is already fairly saturated with things. So that's the other reason I don't think this is going to be the, you know, be all and end all. So
Maybe it won't end all, but maybe it'll be good for the budget consumer. Not everyone's going to buy the Xbox One. It is relatively expensive. You know, maybe this could be the cheap person's.
But at the same time, this is the same price as the Apple TV. So you could get the Apple TV instead. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but Apple's evil.
Well, I mean, it depends if your content is on Amazon or if it's on the iTunes store, right?
I'll have iTunes, so. Yeah.
Anyways, it's going to be interesting to see where the numbers go on this. Alrighty.
Okay.
What's our final piece of tech news?
Final piece of tech news is something that's kind of interesting. It seems that Microsoft plugs Xbox One security, who was discovered by a 5-year-old.
Yeah, this is really embarrassing for Microsoft. Read on.
5-year-old boy managed to accidentally hack into his father's Xbox One account. And let's see, he got gifts and official thank you from Microsoft for doing it. So let's see, full story is he managed to log into his father's account without knowing his password and that protected it. Apparently, after typing in the correct password, Von Hassel managed to get past a secondary password verification prompt by typing in nothing but space characters. I was like, yeah. So, yeah, that's interesting. Type in no character, nothing at all, just space, 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 and you get into, you just log on in.
Very embarrassing for Microsoft because you get a secondary password, and your secondary password is supposed to protect you, but in this case it did not, which, I mean, that's just very bad on Microsoft's part, but I'm at a loss for words because could you imagine if something like this had happened to a Google account or an Apple account with a whole bunch of iTunes info and credit card information attached to it? There could even be credit card information attached to this Microsoft account. Yeah, and I mean, all he gets with this is 4 Xbox One games, $50, and a year's subscription to Xbox Live. An official acknowledgement as a Microsoft security researcher.
Hey, that's a great thing to put in your resume when you're 5 years old.
Yeah, you hacked the Xbox and you found a security problem. But, I mean, this seems more like blind luck than anything else, and really an oversight on Microsoft's part. Because when you test a piece of software that is going online and it's going to be interacting with the internet with so many people, this is one of the first things you test, is a blatant overrun like this. And it's just really weird that Microsoft never did that.
Okay.
Yep. I don't know. I'm finished with that story. You have anything else on it?
Go kid.
Alrighty. Well, we're approaching the end of the show, so that means it's time for the Skill of the Month update. The Skill of the Month for April is ranged. We currently got BXP Prod in first place with 2.5 million experience gain. Second place, Metal Maniac 9 with 1.5, and third place is Yummy with 668,000 experience gain. Yay! I hope that people will continue racing in this one, you know, given since it's ranged and combat skills typically don't burn out as quick.
Yeah, and, you know, the top three have relatively steady increase over time. And, like, the other ones kind of, like, just go up and then just drop off the end of the earth.
Yeah. And speaking of steady increases and surprising things, that happened in the end of the March skill of the month for prayer. Basically, what happened there is it looks like Flash had it in the bag. He was in first place since, the very first day of the competition. It managed to maintain it. Got slightly complacent near the end, and Devo shot up way up 2 days before the competition ended and took the win in less than 2 days. So basically, by the time Flash realized what was happening, the effort Flash put in to compensate for this just was not enough. And Dave ended up winning the Skill of the Month by less than 200,000 experience. Definitely a very surprising finish on this one for us. We rarely see this happen, and this is what we live for in terms of talking about Skill of the Month. So good job all around on this one, and we'll also give mention to Uncle Dano, who came in third with 1.3 million XP there.
Yay.
Okay. What's next?
Next up, we have, we have our little new former roundup. And we were reviewing Metric Time, which is an interesting little thing.
Yeah. So
Metric Time. We convert everything to metric instead of using our regular 24-hour system.
Yeah, back in 2009 for April Fool's, we converted to metric time. And this year, one of the airlines up here actually converted to metric time as well. So, I mean, they weren't the first to do it. We obviously did that, and it was very funny to see this happen, and something that we did here. And once again, this is one of the things that a couple of people actually believed we were going to do. So I had to give that a mention at the end of the Informer Roundup. But we also got the whole selection of articles from past in March. You've probably heard most of them mentioned here on the show. But if not, just head on over to Informer, informer.rsbnb.com, to give that a read. Okay, time for some achievements. We got three of them this week. Three good achievements. You want to get us going?
All right. First up, we have Touchpad Pro, who got 99 attack on April 2nd. Sorry about that.
We also have Dave 0338, 99 prayer on the 31st, unsurprisingly, after that skill of the month win.
And we have Pernasius, who got 99 runecrafting on March 30th. And I think he got 99 almost everything now? Is that the case? He's been having a lot of 99s recently.
Yeah, I think he's fairly close to being maxed or already maxed as it is. Let me actually just have a look here and see what's missing. Yeah, everything is maxed. The only thing missing is 120 Dungeoneering.
All right, good. Hey, maybe he'll go for 120 and everything.
I don't know about that. That would be a tall order.
Tall latte.
Sure. All right. And just as we're on the mentioning other things here, I will also say that we have a new supplemental this week in which it's time to get an opinion on the way supplemental is going. And we put together a survey for that of various things about where we'd like to go with that. So if you could just click the link in the show notes, that would be good, and fill out the survey, because that would help us in guiding which way to go, which types of ones to do more often, that sort of thing, and when to actually publish it. So just give that a read.
Okay.
And it's time for your pick of the week. What do you got for us?
It's a little interactive panorama, website. You know how all those pictures, Shane, of... Oh, thanks, Shane. Look what you typed in.
Oops. All right.
That was even close to my name, man. Anyway, you kind of know how the Eighth Wonders of the World, how they always show the Taj Mahal, the pyramids, and Niagara Falls or whatever, and how it's all natural and splendid, and it's all, you know, supposed to be in a very beautiful area.
Mm-hmm.
This one basically shows you everything around them. So, you know, the first picture is the Taj Mahal, which, you know, is very, in itself, is a very beautiful, beautiful little landmark, you know, around the world. But if you actually, you know, start spinning the camera around,
playing sound.
And actually, yeah, no.
There we go.
If you actually, okay. And one little note, it's not technically inverted properly, but if you spin it around, you actually see little icons that you can see around the area. And the thing about it, it really shows you what's really there instead of what, you know, tourist sites want you to see.
Right. Oh yeah, I see, what you
mean. Notice that in.
Yeah, this see? Is kind of like this is street view, except in the air, like Apple has done in major cities.
Mm-hmm. And right. You know, it's a nice little thing. You can go around and really look at things from the different areas. But also, one of those things I wanted to show, that what will be really eye opener isn't, although you got to be careful with the inverted thing. It's not as good. also kind of watch out for is, although it looks beautiful, if you actually zoom out, you'll notice something really interesting about the cities that are around.
And what's that?
So yeah, if you zoom out, usually the most beautiful place in right all around it, it's a giant city that can usually is a mess. Yeah, which one are you looking on right now?
Taj Mahal, India.
You know, see on the right side, all those little screenshots?
Yep.
Click on the very last one.
Yeah, that's actually the one I was on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, the huge city there, so.
Yeah, it ain't that far away either, if you think about it.
Yep.
Yeah, just wanted to let you guys people know. Take a look around. It's not every place is like that, but you know, don't just always Vatican. Look at what's. You see the Pope?
No. Do not.
Yeah, but, you know, look around. Some of them are quite nice.
I don't know why it was
that's a South African. That's a South American flute. No, that was an Ireland one. Anyway.
Yeah, that's good.
Go have fun. Just be careful of the inverted thing. They're annoying. There's
all right.
That inverted properly, but that's about it. Have fun.
Sounds good. And that's at airpano.ru. Okay, it's Russian. Be careful with that site. So, what have you been up to this week?
I've been working my butt off. That's what I've been doing.
All right. How about in RuneScape?
Yeah. In ports, I actually finally got to the last area, then I instantly regretted it.
Why is that?
I just noticed, like, oh, crud. I got to a new area and now I can't do any of the specialist missions because I can't afford to do them because they're so high. So now I'm going to spend another couple months doing ports to try and get items and terracotta stuff in order to level up my people because I have to level those guys up before I can level go into the next area because when I was in the next area, it was not pretty. I was like, yeah, this is not happening anytime soon unless I want to do like 45%.
No. Yeah, that's bad.
I can't even do 100% for all of them yet.
I had an 80% mission fail this week.
I had one where someone died earlier in the in when it first was released. That was you know, heartbreaking.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else?
Well, I have not been doing massive layoffs, but I've been doing pretty steadily layoffs. was there anything that I did? I did a little bit. I did a little bit of slaying just because I had some extra time. But past couple of days, I've just been playing Rome too, just having the picture of that I wanted, and it was going well. I defeated almost all the barbarians, and in the Middle East, I'm like, I'm trying to figure out if I should backstab my allies, and I found out one of them decided to break off the trade contract. I was like, all right, there's my reason. Whack. So, yeah, I've been doing total world domination.
All right, that sounds good. As for me this week on RuneScape, primarily just been doing divination for lack of anything better to do, I guess. I have started farming again for a very specific reason. So that's always fun to do farming runs. But aside from that, just been doing some programming in Objective-C, getting closer to finishing what I'm working on. So that's always nice. And I pretty much think that's it in terms of RS, and it's always nice to have a quiet RS week. You have anything else to say before we say goodbye?
What's happening next week? I don't think it's really happening next week. Do class, be good, and if you're on spring break, going on spring break, hope you have fun.
All right. We'll see you next week, everyone. Have a good week, and remember to fill out that survey for our supplemental. See ya.
Woots.